Ensuring religious liberty was one of the main reasons for the founding of America. Fast forward to today. Recently, President Joe Biden said that he is seeking re-election. If he won, what would a second Biden term mean in terms of religious freedom? Discovery Institute's Wesley J. Smith wrote an article about that recently, and we will link to that article. This is Focal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and we welcome Wesley J. Smith back to the program. Thank you for being with us. Appreciate it.
Hey, Jerry. Thanks for having me.
Okay, you said that, quote unquote, the Biden administration has been an implacable foe of freedom of religion. Go ahead and wax eloquent. What do you mean by this?
Yeah, what they're really against is the free exercise of religion when it conflicts with their progressive secular ideologies. I can give you an example. They have supported the Equality Act. The Equality Act is a bit of legislation that actually passed the Congress back before the current Congress, but the last Congress, the House of Representatives, that basically one of the things it would do would be totally gut the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. Well, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act is there to make sure that people have free exercise of religion because of a Supreme Court case that kind of gutted the way the First Amendment was interpreted. And what that would do is say, well, sure, you can believe what you want in church. You can believe what you want in your home. You can say grace after a meal. Catholics can believe that the Eucharist is the body and blood of Christ, where Protestants might think it's more symbolic. But if you try to go out and live your life and take action or inaction in accord with your faith, and it violates our beliefs in terms of our secular progressive ideology, we will crush you. And therefore, you see the attack on medical conscience, meaning trying to force doctors to engage in performing abortions or transgender transitions. Mm. You've seen what's happened with the Colorado cake designer, who has been repeatedly attacked among progressives because he refuses to design cakes that violate his religious beliefs. So the problem becomes, how do you protect free exercise as well as freedom of worship? And just recently, since you and I actually agreed to do this interview, the Biden administration, through Medicare, went after a Catholic hospital that had a votive candle lit in front of the Blessed Sacrament, which Catholics believe is the body and blood of Christ. And the Medicare bureaucrats tried to force this Catholic hospital in this chapel to blow out that candle, or they'd have to close the hospital. So that actually, they've since backed down, but that actually moved from attacking free exercise to beginning the attack even on freedom of worship.
I understand, by the way, that that candle has been lit for years and years, something to that
effect.
Yes,
and it's had fire marshal approval and that kind of thing. It's not dangerous. It was just getting in the way. Bureaucrats, it seems to me, saw something that they found as a technicality that they could then attack this Catholic hospital. The Catholic hospital, by the way, pointed out, wait a second, we've got other open flames, you know, for gas stoves, furnaces. So the whole thing was shows you how insensitive, not just the Biden administration, I'm sure Joe Biden didn't order that from on high, but how the bureaucracy itself, the government itself, has become permeated with an anti-freedom of religion mindset.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and quote from your article. If the freedom of religion is reduced to mere freedom of worship, creed-motivated philanthropic and service organizations such as the Salvation Army, Catholic Charities USA, and religiously sponsored schools, hospitals, nursing homes, pregnancy counseling centers, etc., will be forced to choose between acting contrary to their faith and closing their doors, end quote. Go ahead and elaborate on this.
Sure. Just as one example, you see efforts to force Christian adoption agencies to provide adoption services for same-sex couples, or they can lose all federal funds. Well, that's just trying to make sure that Christian adoption agencies can't act according to their faith. The Salvation Army will have certain faith precepts in terms of who they hire and who and how they provide service. And the Salvation Army provides services for across the society, but who they have as the people who work for them, that could be under attack. We've seen assaults on religious schools saying what they can teach or what they can, more precisely, what their hiring practices should be. So you're seeing a lot of pressure coming on religious institutions to yield to secular progressive value systems.
It seems as if a lot of times what really the tip of the spear in this are conflicts over understanding about human sexuality. I mean, the Bible says, for example, that God made us male and female, just, you know, two genders. Well, that right there is very controversial among some circles, but it's as if there's this new sexual orthodoxy that has arisen, and if you fall afoul of that, you know, your religion be darned, you know, that's what must prevail.
Well, that's the issue that shattered the left and right consensus on religious freedom. I referenced a Supreme Court ruling earlier. It was called Smith versus Employment Division, and it was by Scalia, Justice Scalia, in what I think is his worst decision ever. It involved two Native American men who had gone to a Native American religious ceremony where they took peyote as part of that ceremony. And then when they sought to get some unemployment benefits, they were drug tested and they tested positive. And so they were denied their benefits. So they brought a lawsuit saying, wait a second, the way this law is being applied against us is interfering with our free exercise of religion. And I'm afraid Scalia looked at it as a drug case instead of a religious freedom case, because he wrote a decision joined by the liberals on the court that basically said, if a law is of general applicability, meaning it doesn't say, okay, Catholics, you have to do ABC, but if it's of general applicability and it happens to violate your free exercise, that's too bad because it doesn't violate the First Amendment. That was a shift from previous means of interpreting the free exercise clause. That decision was widely decried on the left and the right and resulted in the passage of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which was signed by President Bill Clinton. It was nearly unanimous in the House, nearly unanimous, if not unanimous, in the Senate. And it basically restored the idea that if somebody can demonstrate that their free exercise of religion has been impinged by federal regulation or federal law, then the state, the federal government, has the obligation to prove that they've done this, that it's a compelling state interest, meaning that really is important. Let's say child sacrifice for an Aztec, right? If an Aztec religion wanted to engage in child sacrifice, I think everybody would agree would be a compelling state interest to prevent that. And also that the means of attempted by the government were the narrowest possible to accomplish the compelling state interest. Biden is against that now, even though that was passed overwhelmingly by Democrats and Republicans. And what shattered the consensus on the left was this LGBT issue, because they decided on the left that religious freedom was an excuse for discrimination. And the consensus that was really quite bipartisan and across the cultural divide that we now see shattered. And so you often see now these fights dealing with that issue. But I think even more importantly is the issue of medical conscience. There's a case in California, this doesn't involve President Biden, but there's a case in California called Dignity Health. And I think it's the most important freedom of religion case in the country, because Dignity Health is a Catholic institution, Catholic hospital, and a hysterectomy was scheduled. And a few weeks before the hysterectomy was to take place, maybe the patient, I don't know who, but somebody called the hospital and said, you understand this is a transition surgery. It's not like cancer. And the hospital said, well, wait a second. We're a Catholic hospital. We can't do that. And there are two grounds why the Catholic hospital couldn't do it, two principles that applied not just against transgenders, but again, but involved anybody who might ask for surgery. The first principle is that you cannot remove a healthy organ. In order for a healthy, for an organ to be removed, there has to be a pathology. The second, of course, is that you cannot sterilize unless there's a pathology. So if a woman presented with a uterine cancer, of course, the Catholic hospital would perform the hysterectomy. But in this case, the biological female patient wanted the uterus out because the female patient identified as a male. And so the Catholic hospital said, because of these two principles, we can't do it. They wouldn't have sterilized a heterosexual woman either. So they were being consistent with Catholic moral beliefs. The patient sued. The trial court said no religious freedom. The California Court of Appeals reversed, saying discrimination. The California Supreme Court said discrimination, and the U.S. Supreme Court refused to take the case. When that goes to trial, which it will unless there's a settlement, but even if there's a settlement, if there's a big money payout from the Catholic hospital for complying with Catholic moral principles, it's going to be Katie bar the door on the free exercise of religion.
Oh, my goodness. This is amazing. We have about 2 to 3 minutes left. What's amazing about all this is the historic principle of the freedom of conscience. Here in America, conscience rights are sacrosanct. In fact, there's a great quote from one of the creeds. It says, God alone is Lord of the conscience. And I think a lot of the founding fathers really felt that way. And in effect, you have the spirit of that reflected in the Bill of Rights.
Well, yeah, and you know that the free exercise is protected in the First Amendment. It's one of the reasons religious freedom is called the first freedom. Think about World War II. In World War II, which was an existential struggle for the survival of the United States, even in that time of great peril, religious conscience, people who were religious, conscientious objectors, pacifists because of religious beliefs, were allowed not to serve. That's how important the free exercise of religion was deemed, even during the darkest days of World War II. Decades ago, when some authorities tried to force Amish parents to send their children through high school, an agreement was reached allowing, I believe, Amish parents to take their kids out of school at eighth grade based on their religious practices. So we've always made a point. During Vietnam, there was conscientious objection that that sometimes was phonally created claim, but real conscientious objectors based on religion were able to not be drafted during Vietnam. We've always made a point of accommodating that. That's how you have comity in a free society, because you're going to have in a country like ours people with very differing moral beliefs and conscientious beliefs, and we've always tried to accommodate each other the best we can. But I'm afraid that consensus, that comity, has broken down, and that the progressive side of the ledger is trying to bludgeon those who have a more traditional religious belief into accepting their value system and acting upon it in the public square, saying that, you know, you can keep it to yourself in your house or your church, but if you're out there running a store or running a hospital, you're going to do it our way. And I think that is one of the core reasons the country is so divided at this time.
We have 45 seconds left. How about a closing thought on the idea that, well, what if Biden won re-election? What would that mean to religious freedom?
Well, he says he wants to pursue more freedom, that his election means more freedom. I think it would mean less freedom. And I think that if Biden is reelected, or somebody takes his place and is elected on that plank, there's going to be 4 years of struggle in terms of trying to protect the religious freedom of the people of the United States.
Which is so amazing, because America was founded by Pilgrims and the Puritans and the Quakers and so forth, and much of it was for freedom of religion. Wesley J. Smith, thank you so much for being with us. The website is discovery.org, and as I say, we'll link to your article. Thank you. All the best.
Thanks for having me.
Sure. Bye-bye now.